Let's give it up for the band leading us in worship today. Oh, man, that does it for me, I don't tell you. I want to know. I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing. I've been doing it all week. I just walk around the house. I want to know. Man, if you are joining us today, it's going to be a great service. We already had one, and usually that portends to lead us to other things of greatness. If you don't know what that song is about, it's actually interesting. When Fogarty was giving a interview later on, he was talking about, here we were, we've accomplished our dreams. So they're at the pinnacle of their careers. He said, but I could already see the band and some of the other people around them were all focused on the wrong things. And so they were bringing a rain cloud when it should have been a time for sunshine. And I thought, wow, never knew that. I just like to sing the song. But it's not about, have you ever seen the rain? It's, have you ever seen the rain on a sunny day? And so what we focus on affects the temperature around us, our attitude. And so today, I would just hate if you're a believer and God is trying to pour the sunshine into your life and you're bringing the rain because of what you're focused on. Is everybody seeing it? All right, fair enough. All right, we're gonna preach that in just a little bit. Before we do, I wanted us to take a moment and celebrate some great things that have happened at Genesis Metro this week. Number one, one of my good friends got married. So this is their wedding photo. This is Dustin Jones. He has been a faithful church member for so long. The only thing I will complain about is he picked the hottest day of the week at the hottest time of day, and I was melting in a suit while I was performing this wedding. But they got married, they said I do, and we are thankful for it. And it was a crazy busy week because then we also had this happen this week. So we had two different staff people have babies this week. The one on the left is Zion. This is Nolan Spand. This is Angela and Kelly Spann's grandchild, all right? Zion. And then our person who does production every week has been in our church for several years now. Her name is Katrina. Her husband, his name is Cam. They had baby Macy this week, all right? Two babies and a wedding for pastor for Genesis Metro. Man, this is a lot going on in this church, all right? But when you see those two faces up there, would you say that those faces are worth celebrating? So it's taking some time to celebrate. Of course, of course. All right, now take it down. Context this week. Jesus has some things that he likes to celebrate. And he was around some people who didn't like to celebrate. And there was contention between those two parties. Some people were perpetually bringing the rain as Jesus was trying to bring the sunshine. And we wouldn't want to ever be the people in the church that can't celebrate what God is celebrating. Would you say with me, there is something wrong with us as believers, if we can't celebrate what God celebrates? Would you say, if that is a correct statement, would you say amen? Amen? All right. Matter of fact, let's just do it a different way. Since we're talking about celebrating today, we're gonna applaud, okay? If you agree there is something wrong with a church, with a person that can't celebrate what God celebrates, would you give a round of applause if you agree with that statement? All right, that is our premise. Now, I'm going to tie you to it, okay? And before this service is done, we're going to do some celebrating. And the church said, amen. Okay, let's go. It says, all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. That's what I love about Jesus. See, I didn't grow up in a church family. I grew up in one of these families, sinners, far from God. I'm not saying church people aren't sinners. I'm just saying sometimes they are a different type of sinner than I was. And so when I see that Jesus was approachable, no matter what sin path you came from, that gives me hope. That's the kind of Jesus I like. It says that these tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him, and this other crowd, the Pharisees. If you've gone here any amount of time, you know it's coming. Like I can't stand Pharisees. I try to root you out of our church, I will. I call it punch a Pharisee in the face day. Jesus was constantly on these people. Would y'all notice that? Have y'all ever read the Bible? Like there's like one group of people that Jesus just had it with, like the Pharisees. It says that the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining. All these sinners were coming and they were complaining about the sinners coming. Look at their disdain. And to me, it's like in a British accent because those people sound pompous. No offense to any of the British people. This man, you know, welcomes sinners and eats with them. He eats with them. Like, this is, like, what are we doing here? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know that us blue bloods don't sully ourselves? Now, Jesus is going to respond with three stories, okay? If you ever do something and Jesus turns around and tells three stories, it's only because one story wasn't enough to get through your thick head, okay? He's like, oh no, I gotta go three. I'm gonna go three deep. And all three are the same story. And that's how much the Pharisees resisted and were stubborn to the truth that he was trying to get across. And this truth is gonna be central. That there are lost things that are being found, and when they're found, we should celebrate. It's gonna be in a nutshell for the whole sermon. That's the only sermon, that's the point, one point, it's really a one point sermon, okay? That I want you to see before it's all said and done, and I want you to compare your life to what Jesus expects, okay? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right, the first story he tells is the parable of the lost sheep. I don't have time to tell the whole parable, but it just says, this shepherd lost a sheep, and he said, you know what, I'm willing to take these 99, put them in the pen, if you will, and then I'm going to go out and I'm going to find this one. And it's probably going to have to risk my life, because I'm going to go out there in the crags and the crevices and the cliffs, and you can imagine him going out there, and then all of a sudden he hears that sound, that, you know, that's my sheep. And so he hears that sound, and he climbs down, and it says, oh my gosh, he was so excited to find this lost sheep. It says in verse 6, coming home, he calls his friends and his neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need or don't think they need repentance. Man, it sounds like he was excited about the thing that was lost being found. He launches into a second story. There was a woman who lost a coin, and commentators talk about like what was the significance of the coin. All we really need to know is that the coin was important. It was important enough that you get up in the middle of the night and you start looking for it. And so it says that she's turning over everything, right? She's moving every shelf. She's doing everything. And I'm going to tell you, as a father to three boys, that none of them, I'm talking none of them, if I ever sent them to go find something, could ever find the thing, right? Is it, say, parents, say amen. Amen. Just last week, I sent my oldest to get some anointing oil. We were anointing baby Zion. That's what we were doing. And I said, it's on the shelf in the thing. And he calls me up. He's like, I can't find it. I was like, I'll be right there. I drove over to my house, go in there, move one thing, boom, oil, right? I was like, hey, it couldn't have been more where I said it was than there. Like, what are we doing? I don't know if you have people that have a hard time finding things, but man, that frustrates me. That really has little to do with the sermon and more just therapy for me, okay? God is excited about things being found. He said there was this woman that lost a coin. She moved heaven and earth, got up, turned everything over, swept the floor, and finds it. Listen to her attitude. It says, when she finds it, she calls her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me because I have found the silver coin I lost. I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. Point number one, we want to make heaven crowded and angels tired, all right? We want to make heaven crowded and angels tired. I think we have an illustration of this. This is, in my mind, the way it looks. These angels have confetti and sparklers, okay? Every time a sinner repents. And I had this crazy thought inside my mind, right? Like that there's like an angel, he's kind of an old angel, and you know, he's just gotten off a swing shift and he's going home and he's getting ready to lay down and he's taking his socks off, he lays down in the bed, pulls the cover, and all of a sudden the little alarm, there's an alarm system, like the tornado, and it's like a siren, and like what? No, I just got home. It's like, no, Genesis Metro is meeting again. There's another sinner. He's like, he's got to get up out of bed. He's got to Uber up to the heaven and whatever, the party place. And I was just thinking, man, wouldn't we want to be a church that makes angels tired? Like that they got to keep on partying. It's like the party planning committee never gets to take a week off. That's what I want. Every week we want to see sinners repenting. We want to see life change in response to God's word. If that's not what it's about, then what is it about? And the church said, amen. Yeah, we can get excited about that. So he says there's three parts to this formula. If you'll notice, in both stories, it says the exact same thing. After the thing that was found, he said, what do? He said, number one, you gather a crowd. You gather a crowd. He said, call your friends and your neighbors. All right? I want you to know that whenever something amazing happens in your life, you have a little Rolodex, a little list of people that you are going to tell, right? You have like, oh, I got to call so-and-so as soon as I can, right? My middle son recently hit a hole in one, all right? He is not a golfer, okay? But he hit a hole in one. Do you know how many people he told that story to after he hit that hole in one? It's like he carries the ball in his pocket and he's like, golf? Did somebody say golf? Let me tell you a story. When you're enthusiastic and excited about something and something amazing happened to you, you want to share, right? So you gather a crowd in order to share the story. I'm going to tell you another little secret. If you don't rejoice with me when I'm rejoicing, guess who's not going to be on the list the next time something amazing happens? Have you ever told someone something amazing in your life? They're like, boo. He says, gather the crowd. And then he says, what? Invite them. He says, will you rejoice with me? Come rejoice with me. Because there was something lost and I found it. Rejoice with me. In every one of these stories, the last one too, that we'll read in just a moment, he's like, God's heart gets excited whenever he finds something that is lost, and then he's inviting the crowd around to celebrate, rejoice with him over the lost thing that was found. And then number three, it says that heaven rejoices, that angels even rejoice. So you would have to start asking yourself, oh man, okay, application time. What does that parable, how does that translate into what we do? Church is this. Does everybody understand that? Why do we get together every week? Because lost things are being found. And we want to celebrate as a church body. And we want to gather a crowd. And we say, rejoice with us. Rejoice with us. There was something lost and it's been found. Heaven is rejoicing. And so sometimes I start to think, man, why is it that when we're singing or I'm preaching, sometimes I'm saying rejoice, but I'm seeing faces that can't? Do you guys think there's any disconnect there? Like if you go into a worship service and they're celebrating all the things that have been lost, that have been found. As a matter of fact, let's just back it up. At one point were you one of the things that were lost that he found? And I guarantee you, when you think about the fact that he found you when you were lost, you can come into and hear another one is on the way, and you can celebrate because that was you at one point, and God celebrated when you were found. Like all of heaven celebrated when he found you, when you said yes to God. Man, think about that for a moment. That's the kind of God we have. Now, when you come in here, how is it? How is it that you can't celebrate? What's wrong? I'm gonna tell you what, we're gonna do a mirroring exercise, okay? I did this for the first service. It went about exactly how I thought it would go. Okay, I am gonna be excited, and you are gonna be excited, okay? We're both gonna show our excitement face, okay? Now you could think you just got $1 million. You could think you just, if you're single, you found the one. Maybe if you're parents, you're thinking back to your babies that were born. That's a happy day. Whatever, you're thinking about the day you got married. For most of you, that was a happy day. And so whatever it was, okay? So on the count of three, we're gonna be excited, okay? We're just gonna show our excitement, okay? 1, 2, 3. I didn't expect the cheering. I thought we were just going to do faces, okay? But that made such a better point. I appreciate that. Now, here's a really simple question. Do you think everyone showed their excitement face when we just did that? No. Now, I didn't see as much because I was looking up and I was surprised that people were cheering, but I know that it happened. Some of you pride yourself on that stoic, disconnected way you live your life. Come on. Do you really think that's going to fly? If God is celebrating and you're not celebrating, well, he's celebrating. If you owned a company and you walked in like, guys, we just hit the mother lode. We just signed this contract and all of you are getting raises. And there's some guy sitting at the table like, meh. Do you think that guy should be at that table? Cancer. Cut it out. Man, when you walk into God's house, is it possible that you can't rejoice because his joy isn't in you? It can't come out because you haven't put it, it's long gone, the joy of the Lord. And God is saying, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. And because your focus is elsewhere, you can't rejoice with him. As a matter of fact, the third story is going to answer this. I want us to get into this because I ran out of time in the first service. So I have to preach the rest of the sermon here. But in the prodigal son, there's something else that was lost, right? The prodigal went out and lived riotous living. It means he lived a sinful life, did a lot of bad things. We're not going to focus on him. He always gets all the publicity. I really want us to focus on the older brother and how he responded. It says, now the older son was in the field, and he came near the house, and he heard music and dancing. I don't know. Has anybody ever, like, you know, you kind of hear the music playing, right? Some of you just naturally, like a moth to a flame, like, you know, where's the party at? Huh? Say amen if you're the party person. Amen. There you go. There you go. And it's like, ooh, you know? I feel like Lionel Richie right there. Anyway, calm down. So he heard the music and the dancing. There's a commotion going on, right? So he summoned one of his servants questioning what these things meant. What's going on? Like, you already tell they're a buzzkill when their first reaction is like, hey, what's going on? It's like, what's going on? There's fun happening. I am the fun police. Can't stand those people, man. Loosen up. Verse 27, some of the best news came to him. The best news. Your brother is here. And your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And you would expect, don't show the next verse yet, don't show it. You expect the next verse to be like the older brother started high-fiving the servant and he's running into the house, embracing the brother, embracing the father. We're one, we're a family again. Verse 28, then he became, say it with me, he became angry, and he didn't want to go in. So the father came out and pleaded with him, but he replied to his father, look, I have, I don't know if you've ever heard, this is what, when somebody is exaggerating their story, this is exactly the way it sounds. Have you guys ever heard this? Has anybody ever heard this? It's like, now this is a wealthy family, mind you. So, look, I have been slaving over this stove. I mean, slaving for many years for you. I have never disobeyed. Has anybody raised a child that has never disobeyed? He's two for two here. Are you telling me I'm slaving away every day? I've never disobeyed you. And yet, you have never gave me a goat. I want a goat. Just one goat, Daddy. That I could celebrate with my friends. Somebody is president of the pity party. Could you guys say that? Could you everybody see that? Now remember, who was Jesus talking about? The Pharisees. The Pharisees. That's who he's talking about here. The older brother is the Pharisees. Okay, let me connect the dots for you. Verse 30. But when this son of yours, now every parent knows what this sounds like. When they're an angel, they're my child. When they're a devil, they're your child. So he didn't say my brother. He said, this son of yours who has devoured your assets with prostitutes. I mean, he went right to like, we're gonna just put it out there, you know, whatever the worst thing that you've ever done, I'm gonna say it, and I'm gonna say it with my chest out. He's over here with prostitutes. You slaughtered the fattened calf for him? You can hear, you know what disappointment sounds like with your father? Does anybody know what that voice sounds like? I hope you hear that voice right now. Son, he said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this, your brother, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. Your focus will become the atmosphere that your emotions breathe. I'm gonna say it again for the people in the back. Your focus will become the atmosphere that your emotions breathe. The father was focused on the lost son. The older son was focused on his feelings. And he was angry because he felt like there was injustice. He felt like it was inequitable. All I want you to see is that whatever you focus on is what you feed. And everybody that is in a relationship understands this intuitively. Have you ever had your spouse, for all my owners of companies in here, have you ever had an employee? And they do something. And it's something just so ticky-tack, just so small. But it gets stuck in there. Has anybody ever known what I'm talking about? Like, they just like, they like walked by and the trash can was full. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, yeah, it's not anyone's job, but it's kind of like, you know, you just walked right by that. And then like that little thing that starts like spinning in you like a tornado. And then before too long, that little thing has become a big thing. And now you've worked yourself up to a full rage tornado. Because he never says that. He always says, I just wonder if you know that you're feeding the feelings. That chicken or the egg question in this story, it's your focus. He's saying your focus is producing the wrong feelings because you're focused on the wrong thing. You see, when you focus on how you feel about it to the neglect of how the Father feels about it, my goodness. Should your feelings be how you feel about it or how the Father feels about it? Do you think you ever allow your feelings to compete with the Father's feelings? Was there a cause to celebrate? Of course there was a cause to celebrate. He was standing outside because he had more commitment to his feelings than he had to the Father. Boy, have you ever got committed to your feelings? Say amen if you're married. I mean, if you know someone. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. I am mad. I hate them. I'm bitter. I'm jealous. Have you ever had some feelings? Anybody in here? Just curious. Have you ever deconstructed that feeling and ever asked yourself where it came from? Because most people haven't. They just think because they feel that way, it's the way that it is. And they live life based upon how they feel. Wouldn't it be terrible if you literally are the song that we sung today? That God is doing so much around you. Finding so many around, saving so many around, just doing God things all around you, but you're just bringing the rain cloud. You're just focused on how you feel. And you're not even trying to submit yourself and surrender yourself to the Father's feelings, because then he would replace your resentment with joy. And because you've embraced your feelings so much, you literally stand outside. He said that he was going to punish the Father by removing his presence and his proximity and by not participating. He said, I'm going to stand out here and protest. And I just wonder if there's anybody that's ever been in church that doesn't allow themselves to really be in church because something that happened somewhere, some other pastor, some person, they offended you, and now you felt a certain way, and now you say, you know what, I feel this way, so I'm going to stand outside. I'll be there in my physical presence, but my spiritual presence, my heart, my worship, my soul, I'm going to stand outside because I don't like something that happened. I don't like the way that went. So I'm going to withhold from God to punish a person who doesn't even know that you're doing it. And then he started comparing
I have not one day ever taken off, called out sick, and then he's out here with prostitutes, and you give him a calf, a fat, you give him a barbecue, you give him a party, and he gets a cake and candles, and you're celebrating him, and what about me? What about me? I. Comparison, man. Comparison. Do you know that's the only way you can get away with what you're doing? That you have to find somebody worse than you to justify you. I just wanted to ask you a question. I'm going to unravel you in front of everyone. Is it you compared to them? Or is it your goodness compared to God? Where's the standard at? One or two? Is God saying you need to compare your goodness to their goodness, or is he saying you need to compare your goodness to God's goodness? You see, if you compare yourself to others, you'll feel really good about yourself. You're like, hey, I'm not out there with prostitutes. I didn't know that was like, that you get the A plus on life if that's the one you avoided. I didn't think it worked like that. Y'all know what I'm saying? What if we compared your goodness to God's goodness? How would you feel? What if we compared your grace to his grace? What if we compared your patience to his patience? What if we compared his mercy to your mercy? What if we compared his forgiveness to your forgiveness? My friend, you would look worse than the guy that was with the prostitutes. He says that your righteousness is like filthy rags. You need to quit comparing yourself to others and start comparing yourself to God. And if you compare yourself to God, you'll walk in his house celebrating. That's the God of grace. That's the God that found me. That's the God that forgave me. That's the God that gave me a second chance. I walk in that house and I look around and he said, he wanted both sons to be in the house. He ran out to the rebellious, but he also went out to the resentful son. He wanted both in the house. He's not just a God of those that have been broken, but he's also a God of those that have been bitter and have lost their joy. He invites them both back into the house, and he says to him a reminder. He doesn't shame him. He reminds him. He says, we had to celebrate. Didn't we have to celebrate? This, your brother was lost. And now he's found. He was dead. And now he's alive. He wanted to remind him, don't you hear the music playing? Don't you smell the feast in the air? Can't you see another sinner is coming home? Another prodigal is turning from their wicked ways. Another marriage is being put back together. Another rebellious teenager is finding God when the parents didn't find him till they were adults, and they're praying to God. I don't want them to have to go through what I went through. And so when God finds that lost soul and he brings them, shouldn't we celebrate? Don't we have to celebrate? I want to be in a church that celebrates every lost sinner like it was our first. Man, I want us to celebrate every week. When we worship, that's what it is. We are celebrating what God has done in this house. He has saved hundreds in this house just this year, baptized hundreds in this house just this year. And you get to be a part of that? Come on. And you can't celebrate? All that God has done, come on, you got to find it inside of you. And if it's not inside of you, there's something wrong. There's something. I don't care. Oh, you know, Tim, I grew up just in a house. We just didn't express ourselves. You didn't grow up in God's house then. Is it your earthly father or your heavenly father that dictates your feelings? I could do this all night. Man, if you're ever in a church culture that doesn't celebrate sinners finding salvation, my gosh, run. If they're not seeing sinners come to know Christ, run. If you haven't found one sinner in all your life, could it be that your focus is maybe inward instead of upward? See, I'm trying to wake some of you up because we're going to sing a song called God, I'm So Grateful. And if you can't sing that song, Something's broken. You say, Tim, I've never heard the song before. Yeah. I sing my face off. Because some sinner in here, if they found Jesus today, wouldn't that be worth celebrating? Here we go. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, God, help us today. I pray for the hardened person. I pray for the stoic. I pray for the person who doesn't have joy. They can be in Jesus' house and not have joy. That's a sin. God, wake them. Wake them from their slumber. It's not about your feelings. It's not about fairness. It's about what the Father celebrates. I celebrate what the Father says he's about. I want to be about what the Son came to this earth to do, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what I want to be about. Man, what if this was all, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time that you read his word, every time you listen to it, worship, what if it was all about celebrating all that God has done? Would it change you? Would something have to change in you in order for you to be able to celebrate today? Man, I pray that we unlock someone. Send me an email this week if this was you, that we unlocked you. That you were able to get excited about what God is doing. If it's been a long time, something's wrong. Would you guys worship with us? Would you stand and worship with us?